Good morning, everyone. Doing well? I want to start this morning by telling you a story that had a very profound impact on my life. The summer between my junior and senior year is when God really began to get a hold of my heart. I had not walked with Jesus. I'd kind of ran away from Jesus for a long time. And so when I was in the midst of that transition, I had gone to a summer church camp. And when I showed up, it was in that season God started doing a lot in my heart. And I met this guy named Nick when I was at camp. And so me and Nick kind of had a similar story. And so when we began to hang out, we just really connected that week. And the little thing that was kind of weird, I don't know why this was true, but at the time I used to wear like a chain around my neck. And he wore one that was very, very similar. It was a little bit different. The difference was between our chains was this, is that I just found it in the store and bought it and thought I was cool. Nick had his chain on him when he told me the story. He's like, this is actually the dog tag chain. Do you guys know what I'm talking about, some of you? This is a dog tag chain, and this chain has been passed down from friend to friend since someone was in Vietnam and wore it, and it's just been passed down from friend to friend. I'm like, well, your chain is clearly better, right? And so when I, at the end of the week, we kind of were connecting and God had begun to do some cool stuff in our hearts. And so it was his idea. He goes, hey, how about we just trade chains as a reminder to pray for each other? And I was like, wow, that feels pretty, you know, important. I mean, mine was like $2 at the store and yours is kind of important, but I'm like, I'm in, let's go. So I brought it home and I wore it and I kept wearing it. And sometime in the fall, I lost it. And so here's what I remember. I remember taking it off in the kitchen to do something. I don't even know, but I couldn't find it. And you've ever had this moment in your house when you're walking around your house, you're like, has anybody seen? And everyone goes, no. And you're like, have you even looked? You know, but you really want to find this thing. It's super important. But now it's gone like on a week where I haven't found it. And I thought, oh, it'll turn up. I'll find it. And I began to kind of get a little stressed. And so one night, I don't even know why or what happened, but I just said, I know that this chain is in this house. And so I made a resolution. I was like, I'm not going to go to sleep until I find this chain because I know it's in this house. And you're a teenager and you don't, like 2 o'clock is no big deal in the morning, right? So it's like, let's go. So I literally started tearing the house apart. And I don't know how, it probably took me an hour or 2 hours, and I finally found the dumb chain in the cushion in the living room. The only thing I can think is maybe the cat started playing with it, and I have no clue what happened. But I finally found it. And so I'm pretty excited, and I go back to bed, and of course I'm not tired now because I've been up just tearing stuff apart. And it was in this season that I began to walk with Jesus, and so it was a hard season because I'd left all my friends, and I was trying to do this new thing of walking with Jesus. And it's in those moments you memorize like key verses, and there was a key verse that I memorized, which is Jeremiah 29:11, and I don't know that I'd memorized at this point. It says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And so I think it was just in the season of loneliness, and so I read that and I remember it. And so because you're just looking at that verse in the scripture, I kept reading, and this is verse 12. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. And then verse 13, there was a holy moment in my bedroom, my senior year of high school, when I read this. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And about 15 minutes earlier, I was literally tearing apart my house to find this chain. And it's like the Spirit of God said to me, Brent, when you come after me the way you come after that chain, you're gonna find me in everything you want. And that was really profound for a guy who had just started to take a few steps in following Jesus. And I was like, whoa. I'm never gonna forget this because I didn't plan that. It was just a moment where God kind of downloaded to me, Brent, you've got to seek me. So, powerful story. But I wanna tell you an assumption I'm making about this room. I believe that in this room, that if you're here, you probably have a desire. It's to different degrees to seek and to know Jesus. You probably have a degree. So there's some of the degrees. Some of you are like, I'm not sure about Jesus, but I'm sure about the person that brought me, and I just want to honor them, and so that's enough for me. I'll sit through this. Some of you are like, I'm just checking out this Jesus thing. It's a new year, and I've kind of gone off the reservation, and so I'm going to check it out. I'm a little skeptical, but I just want to know a little bit. Then there's other people that you're like, oh, no. I know and love Jesus, but Brent, if I'm honest, even though I know Jesus, my seeking God has stalled out, and I'm at a plateau. And then some of you are also a totally different degree, and you're like, Brent, I'm dialed in. Maybe God's done a fresh work in your life or reopened your eyes, or maybe you're in a really desperate situation and you know you have no other options but God, but for whatever reason, different degrees, I get it, but you're probably seeking God. And here's the problem with seeking, especially in the context of our world, is there's 1,000 things you can seek. There's so many things in our life that we could seek and put our attention to. They're all over the place. When we wake up, and so even if you want to seek God, you just wake up and life happens and you forget about it by 9 a.m., right? It's like you get to work and boom, oh, I had a really good intention of seeking God today, but man, life happened and it just feels overwhelming. And so I think that's especially even more in the beginning of a new year. For whatever reason, our culture, when we start a new year, is very reflective. I'm very reflective in the end of December, beginning of January. And we're going, what should I seek? What should I be doing with myself this year? And I'm not sure why it happens at the beginning of the year, but it does. And so we're like, what should I be seeking? There's so much in my life to do. Let me tell you what most people are seeking. You ready? This is a survey that was just done by Inc. Magazine. 2,000 people were asked, and it was this January. And so what are your top resolutions for 2019? In essence, what another way to say it is, what are you going to seek? And here it is, the top 10, 71% of the people who responded, I'm just going to list them in the percentages of people that they had it. This is the top three are all about nutrition and body. Diet and eat healthier, exercise more, lose weight, save more and spend less, learn new skill or hobby, quit smoking, read more, find another job, drink less alcohol, spend more time with family and friends. So if you just kind of pull back at the American culture, what are you gonna seek this year? This is the answer. And here's what I'm gonna tell you. All of these things are on that list for one reason. It's because it has caused anxiety in their life that they haven't been dealing with that. There's a level of anxiety in their life. Like, I'm a little anxious about my money. I'm a little anxious about my job. I'm a little anxious that I haven't been learning. I'm a little anxious about the food and my body. I'm anxious about it, and I know I should make some changes. And here's the principle, and then we're going to jump into scripture in a little bit. This principle is this. We seek solutions to the issues that bring anxiety into our life. You're gonna seek solutions for all the things that bring anxiety to your life. This is not a 21st century problem, by the way. And if you're not a Christian, this isn't just a Christian problem. This is a people, humanity, 21st century, first century, second, it doesn't matter. This is a principle that is true. We seek solutions to issues that bring anxiety to our lives. And that's where we're gonna go today. We're gonna look in Jesus, out of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, is gonna teach us what we should be seeking. He's gonna give us some instruction. He's gonna give us a little bit of insight. And then next is we're gonna kind of, we think this is so important about what Jesus is gonna say. We're gonna try to unveil a tool for you to help you in the midst of that process. So this is Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Starting in verse 25. Matthew 6, 25. This is Jesus. He's hanging out with some disciples. He's actually sitting on a hill, sitting on a mountain. That's the reason we call it the Sermon on the Mountain, because he's kind of up on this mountain hill thing and he's speaking down to all of his disciples. And in verse 25 of chapter 6, it says this, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" We're gonna pause here. We're gonna stop and kind of dive in this. Here's the first thing he says. It's a real clear statement. Do not be anxious. It's not like a good suggestion. Let me give you some good advice. It's actually in the command form in the original languages. He's saying, don't be anxious. And for us in the 21st century, we'd be like, is that something we can control? Because we live in an age where anxiety is an epidemic. And all you have to do is be human, and you have been overwhelmed with anxiety at some point. And some of you have really had like anxiety attacks, and it's at a clinical level, and you've had to go seek help for that. And others of us, maybe it's not at a clinical level, but it's at a level where like you feel anxiety in your soul. And Jesus is saying, hey, don't be anxious. Don't do it. And what he's telling people to not be anxious about is food and clothing. He's like, don't be anxious about what you will eat and drink or what you will put on. What's interesting is that food and clothing still bring us anxiety in the 21st century. But there's a difference of how the audience he was speaking to and today. When he was speaking to the first century people reading this, when he's telling them, don't be anxious about your food and what you drink, do you know what he's talking to them about? He's talking about their basic needs. When you lived in the first century, you were one drought away from malnutrition. You were one drought away from not having your river source or your well, and you could literally die because you had no water or had no food. You could die because you were exposed, because you only had a certain, like you didn't have like four pairs of jeans and 10 shirts. You had like a cloak. And if it went bad and it got cold, you could be in serious trouble. It was a basic need situation for them. And he's like, I know you're worried about dying with your food and your clothes, but you don't need to worry about it. You don't need to worry about clothes. For us, it's totally different, right? We still worry about food. Most of us in this room aren't worried about malnutrition. And even if like food is scarce in your life, you're probably not worried about malnutrition. You're probably worried about skipping a meal, or maybe, oh, I'm gonna have to go to some services to help me get that food because I can't purchase it myself. That might be true, but most of us in this room have anxiety with food because of overindulgence, or because we think that if we just perfect a diet, our performance will be exactly the way we want it to be. The first three resolutions most common in all of America in 2019 have to do with food. So it still causes us anxiety, just different. Clothing is the exact same way. None of us are gonna be underexposed, but some of us worry that we don't have the right fashion, or we're not gonna fit in, or people aren't gonna accept us if we don't look cool. Or you don't wanna look cool, so you really dumb it down. But clothing still brings anxiety to us. And then Jesus kind of dials in even more. Look at verse 26, and he gives us some examples of how, when he's saying, don't be anxious, he's saying, here's why. Let me give you some examples. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Here's what God's saying. Hey, look at all these birds flying around. They're not even made in my image. They don't have souls, and I still take care of them. And they have all that they could possibly need. And you're way more valuable than the birds. And so when you walk out, I mean, this is the first century context. We actually put windows around us when we're outside and we stay inside. But first century would have been looking around at the birds. And they're like, yeah, every time I see a bird, I can see it. God takes care of them. He cares for them. He always provides for them. You don't need to worry. And then he goes through and he says, and about your clothing, let me show you how I could take care of that as well. And why, this is verse 28, and why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. He's like, lift up your eyes. Do you see these fields? These lilies are absolutely beautiful. They're gorgeous. And in season, they're going to die, and the farmer will come and take it away and actually burn it up. But even him, Solomon, the richest man the scripture says that's ever to live, didn't even come close to their beauty with all of his beautiful adornings. He's like, have a little faith that your father is going to take care of it. And then he repeats the principle, Matthew, and this is verse 31. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. He repeats it. Don't be anxious. Stop. Don't toil and spin and stress and just cause yourself into a tizzy. Don't do it. Then he talks about the Gentiles. Like, that's what the Gentiles do. And here it's interesting. In Ephesians, we've been talking a lot about the Gentiles because this is years after Jesus, and we're now in Asia Minor, Ephesus, way away from Israel. And Paul's introducing the gospel to the Gentiles. And Paul in Ephesians, we've talked a lot about it. He's like, welcome the Ephesians, welcome the Gentiles if they've accepted Christ. But here he's, Gentiles is a synonym for a godless pagan. Because now we're in Israel in the Jewish context. And for them, Gentile was absolute pagan. These are people who don't know God, don't want to know about God. They don't seek him. And it's like, hey, being anxious is what pagans do. But those who believe in God, they know what it says in verse 32, I think, in verse 30. I'm so sorry, it is 32. For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows what you need. He knows what you need. A pagan doesn't have a God who doesn't know what they need, but if you're a believer, you have a Father who knows everything you need. Relax. Easy to say, isn't it? Don't be anxious. Relax. But the question for you, what is bringing you anxiety? Jesus is speaking directly to his audience, and he's like, hey, I know you're worried about having not enough food and drink and clothes. I know you're worried about survival. And in this room, you're probably not worried about survival in the basic need, but there's something probably this morning or in this season of your life that's wedged in your soul that brings anxiety. What is it? What is it? Maybe it's your job. And maybe it's not exactly what you go to work, but you're like, I got a lot of anxiety about my calling. I don't know what I'm supposed to do, let alone I don't even know if I like it or what I'm not. That's not the biggest issue. But your job, your calling, relationships, even if it's not fully broken, and maybe there's not like just complete dysfunction, there's something or someone that you're trying, but it's hard and it's just bringing anxiety. What about that sin that just keeps hidden? We're at 2019, and it was a problem in 2017, but you kept hiding it. And it's like not just a little problem now. It's a deep anxiety. Money. Maybe you've misspent it. You don't have enough of it. Maybe you've been a good steward, but some circumstance came that just hit you blindsided, and you don't know how you're going to pay for it. There's all kind of circumstances. What's that thing wedged in your soul that just in a moment can just erupt anxiety? God, Jesus, speaking, looks at his disciples and he said, I know I told you don't be anxious, but let me tell you how not to be. This is verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It's hard to hear don't be anxious because, man, that just kind of bubbles up inside of us, honestly. But it's like, do you know how you don't be anxious? Seek first the kingdom of God. You got to take your first step into the kingdom instead of all these problems. And here's the principle today. When you seek answers to life's biggest questions, your first step matters. Your first step matters. When you're dealing with sticky situations, when you're not sure what to do, your first step matters. And here's why. If you seek solutions and you seek after the problems, you're most likely going to get anxiety in your life. But if you seek God, you're going to get all things. And I know this sounds trite. And I know you're like, Brent, that, you're just splitting hairs there, aren't you? And I'm not. I'm really here to tell you, when you're trying to deal with life and you're trying to deal with the questions of life, your first step matters. If you run to the problem, you run to the solution. I'm going to figure this out. I promise you, there's going to be anxiety in your life. But if you can learn as a disciple of Christ to run to God and say, God, I need your help. I'm dependent upon you. I need your word for instruction. I need your people around me to encourage me. I'm telling you, you're going to get all things. You're going to get all things. Let me give you an example. Let's just talk. I'm going to use this example a lot because it apparently across our culture it's a thing. Let's just say that you woke up on January 1st and you thought, man, I'm not as healthy as I once was. And that stressed you out. That brought some anxiety into your life. So what are we going to do? We're good Americans. We're going to fix this problem, dadgummit. And we're going to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. So I'm going to go get a gym membership, right? And then I realize when I get a gym membership that I don't have the right gym clothes. So I certainly need to make sure I get the right shoes and the right shorts or then my workout wouldn't be good. So I'm going to go do that. And I'm going to stress out about that. What's right? Where should I go? And then I'm going to look at the scale. And guess what? You're going to fail. Everyone fails. And I'm going to stress out about that. And I'm going to tie my identity to that. And then maybe by March, it's like, yeah, this isn't worth it. And you're going to feel like a failure. Or when it comes to seeking God, how do you do these issues of life that really can cause stress in your life? How do you seek God with that? Maybe you just say, man, God, I want to know what you say about me first. I think it's a good starting point. Not about what the scale says about me or what the mirror says about me. You know what the scripture says about you? It says that you're fearfully and wonderfully made in Psalm 139. That's what the Bible says. It says, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? So our body does matter. It really does matter. Scripture also says, glorify God with your body. So that matters. Okay, God, I got a picture now. I'm gonna start from there. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna pray and ask you to give me some structure. I'm gonna ask you, God, that you would help me because I'm seeing in your word what it means and what my responsibility is. And you know what, God? I'm horrible at this. So I'm actually gonna talk to the people of faith around me and I'm gonna ask them to help me. And all of a sudden, instead of just taking this anxiety onto your own self, you're seeking God. God, what do you say about this? How can your people help me with this? It is maybe splitting hairs, but it's radically different. And let me just say this really quickly. I'd love to give you more examples. You should be a good steward of everything. Like all the issues that you're gonna deal with, you're gonna have to work at them. I'm not saying just let go and let God and just say, God, I'm gonna pray, and all of a sudden, every problem that I've been asking questions about is gonna disappear. You're gonna have to steward it. But here's what I'm telling you. There's something in your soul that if you're honest with yourself, you're like, yeah, Brent, I'm seeking solutions first. I'm not seeking God. If you're just honest with yourself, you can get there because when you seek the answers of life's biggest questions, your first step matters. If you seek after solutions and problems, and I'm gonna get this, I promise you, you're gonna get some anxiety. But if you seek God, Matthew 6:33 says that you're gonna get all things. So, but here's what I would say, is that you need a tool. And I wish I could stay here and talk about seeking. I have a lot more that I could say about that, but it matters. I'm just hoping that you'll be honest and go, am I really seeking God first or am I seeking things first? And you be honest with yourself. But then the thing is if you're gonna seek God, you need a tool to help you do it. And let me just say this. The greatest tool that you have to seek God is His Word. It literally is probably by your bedside or on a bookshelf. It's on your phone. It's literally the best thing that you could possibly have in seeking God. This is what the scripture says. It says, the word of God is God-breathed, is helpful for rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. It is. It's helpful. It'll help you train. It'll help you know where to go. It'll teach you what to do. It'll rebuke you when you're wrong. That's what 2 Timothy 3:16 says. You know, Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And there's some of you that you really need some light on your path in this season of your life. You're like, I don't even know. I'm in dark. And God's word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. I just messed that up. A light unto your path and a lamp. Oh, man. Went away. You got it. You know what else it says, the scripture says about the Bible? Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. And this is great. And discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Somehow, when you read the scripture, it can discern the thoughts of your heart and it can discern it for you and give you real clarity on the things that you're seeking. But it's my guess that you've heard 100 times, if you've been to church 100 times, you should read your Bible. It's probably my guess. And still, what's interesting is Christians still really struggle with, I'm not sure what to do. There's two things you can struggle with. Number one is the skill. You're like, Brent, that's a lot of words, and I don't know what they all mean. Or you struggle with the will, just the ability to get up, and I'm going to actually get into this word. I know what to do. I just struggle with the desire to get it done. So what we're trying to do at Keystone is help you. We just want to help you. We want to help you because we understand that you've probably been discouraged in reading your scriptures. You've probably, at times, maybe some seasons are incredible. At times, you struggle with the desire to get up and do anything about it. And so what we're doing is introducing this morning the Daily Road. And here's what you're saying, Brent, what is the Daily Road? I've seen some graphics. I saw some Facebook posts. What is it? And here, you see the screen up there, the Daily Road. There you go. Here's what it is. The Daily Road is a simple framework that we believe is going to help you get some courage and also some focus when you're within your time with God. And it's really simple. The road down there is an acronym. And it's actually what you're going to be doing when you read the scriptures. So it stands for R is for read. O is for observe. A is for apply. And D is for discuss. Let me unwrap this a little bit. In the process, and we're going to kind of, I'm going to unravel a little bit of this morning, is you just start by reading. You got to actually pick up a Bible and read it. It's not, the first step is not complicated. You just have to read the Bible. Next is observe. And in the observation phase, what we're really trying to do is say, God, what were you meaning to this original audience? What was the writer meaning? What's there? What are you saying in your word? And let's kind of try to peel back the layers a little bit and see what God was saying through the author. And the next part of observation is really important too. We want to know what it meant, but we're also asking the question, Spirit of God, I want to observe how you're applying this into my life. What are you showing me personally? And then we want to move past that and go into apply, where we don't just know. Who wants to know a Christian who knows a lot about the Bible, but it doesn't change their life? I don't want to know that person. We want the Bible to change us, to change our character, to change the way we live. And so we should apply what God's taught us. And then D is for discuss, which is simple. We want to discuss this with God, which is prayer. God, what have you shown me? Let's pray about what you've shown me. And then next, it's an invitation to discuss what he's shown you with others. Maybe you want to encourage someone, or maybe you needed some accountability in your life, and you want to discuss with others. So that's a simple framework, and what we're doing this morning is introducing this whole thing to our church. And so let me give you some resources that we want to help you launch this year with. The first thing is this. Every single one of you, when we walk out at these tables right back here, are going to get a guidebook. This is like 20 pages of guidebook, and it walks through a few things. It says, it helps you get like an intro about what this is trying to do. And then it goes through each of these R-O-A-D, read, observe, apply, discuss. And it gives a little bit of a description of what you're going to do. It's going to tell you, hey, here's some things to look at. When you're observation, look at the strong verbs. Do you know who wrote this? Who are they writing to? It's going to give you some tools and some questions and apply. And so we basically are just going to go through each of those sections and kind of help you in how you should read. And on the back end of this, we also give additional resources. If you're worried about translations or you're like, Brent, I still have questions because I'm new to this. Where do I find some of those questions? We give some resources that are going to help you incredibly. And then you're going, well, Brent, what am I supposed to read? Oh, you're welcome. We have some reading plans. And hey, I'll explain this a little bit of this a little bit, but it goes through and helps you understand where you could start, maybe some beginning places to start for you. So there's this. There's the guidebook. Now, also what's interesting is we've gone online and we've actually looked and basically recorded via video this book. And so there's an intro, and then literally I take a moment and we video me going through a passage doing every single one of these sections. So every section, read, observe, apply. There's about a 4 to 8 minute video of me showing you what I would do on a normal morning of my life, okay? It's super helpful. All the stuff that's here, we try to demonstrate, and what would it actually look like on a given morning or a given afternoon when you're spending time with Jesus? And all those are available at KeystoneLife/The Daily Road. Another resource we have for you is this, the Daily Road Journal. Now, this one will cost you. These are all free, but this took some money to produce, and so we're charging $4. We're not making any money off of this. But we want to give you this resource so that when you're in your scriptures, you can look and it actually goes through each of these sections. And while you're reading the scriptures, you can go through the read, observe, apply. You can make notes. You can journal. And this is really important. You can actually begin to keep a record in your life of all God is teaching you and showing you. I've been doing this for probably 2007, something like that. Have thousands of these where I can look back and see what God has shown me. I can look back in moments and go, God, I remember when you showed me that. So there's a journal. These are available in the lobby for $4. Next is a bookmark, okay? So part of this thing is about 3 or 4 times a year, we're gonna call the whole church together and be like, hey, for the next 2 weeks, let's read all together. To kind of just stir all of our souls at one time. And that's what we're doing through this first series. As we go through first, and here's what we do. We've given you a schedule. Over the next 2 weeks, we've given 5 passages. So 5 days out of 7, you're human. You might miss a couple of days because your kids wake up early and mess it all up. But there's 5 passages for the next 2 weeks that we're encouraging you. Do this. You don't have to have the journal. I think you should buy the journal. But you don't have to have the journal, but you should do this. And let's jump in this all together as a church. Those are some of the resources we have. But here's the next question is this. What should you expect with this? Let me just give you a few things to expect. Number one is what we're trying to do with all of our souls is help you know and follow Jesus. What we're trying to do is not just launch a program of like, hey, let's all read through the Bible this year. That's a really good and noble goal. We actually want to create a culture where people in Keystone feel equipped and desire to be self-feeders in the Word of God. We want to create that culture. And so what we're trying to do is launch this. We're launching it with First. And about 3 to 4 times a year, we're also going to do a bookmark like this a couple of weeks when we move into Lenten season right before Easter. We'll probably do something again in the fall, just a few times in a year, calling the whole church to read through the scriptures together at different things. Another thing is to kind of launch this. All of our men's and women's equip classes this semester are going to all do the daily road through the Sermon on the Mount. So it should be super fun where you have a few things that you're going to read, and then there'll be a master teacher teaching on some of those things, but men's and women's equip are going to do that. This is also super fun. We're not just trying to do this for adults. We're doing it for students and for kids as well. Our student ministry, Keystone Youth, are going to launch it. They have a new event coming up that's going to be incredible. If you need to sign your kids up, it's called Reset. It's kind of their winter event. It's going to be awesome, and they're going to launch out of Reset and train students and give them something to do when they're way home. We're also going to be launching a kid version of this as we move into Lenten season, and here's the reason. We believe that the scripture is God-breathed. It's useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training in righteousness. So we want to engage with that as a church. And you're like, well, Brent, this feels like a commercial. Are you really preaching? Here's what I'm telling you. I'm just trying to help you apply a scripture that I believe that if you'll latch onto it, will get rid of some anxiety in your life. I don't want to diminish that anxiety is a real thing, but I'm just telling you, your first step matters. And this is God's word says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. This isn't a commercial. This is us trying to say, listen, church, it's hard to seek God. Somebody say amen, right? It can be tough. It can be like, I stink at this. It can just be hard. But I'm just telling you, I believe that if you'll grab a hold of that principle, my life is literally a testimony to it, that it truly is true. Just like that one night when God showed it to me when I was a senior in high school. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And it's literally a groan inside of my soul as the pastor that you would learn to get alone with God and hear from him and hear his voice in your life and learn to let him light your path. And you would learn to let him train you and correct you. And I believe this isn't perfect. It's just a framework, guys, just a framework. But this is going to help you do it. So here's the steps. Number one, if you're a believer in Christ, you need to seek God. This is a great tool. It's not mandatory, but if you ain't got a better tool, I'm telling you, you should start here. Number two, your first step matters. And so some of you in this room, you may be skeptical, and you may be like, I'm only here because this one brought me, but I don't know Jesus. And I'm just telling you, your first step matters too. And maybe your first step this morning would to believe, be for the first time in your life, repent and believe that Jesus Christ is your only hope, not only in this world, but in the world to come. And he would gladly receive you this morning if you would just bow your knee and say, God, for the first time in my life, I'm going to believe in you. And you would accept him. Let's bow. God, this morning, we're really, really thankful for your word. And it's so simple. Seek first the kingdom of God. God, our first step matters. And I'm praying that you would train us as a church to seek you, to take the first step to you and not towards our problem. Our problems are real. They are scary. They are overwhelming. But God, help us to be a people who start by taking the first step towards you. And God, we need your grace to grow in your word. We do. We need your grace. And so, God, we're asking you to come and do a fresh work in this church. God, we're literally asking for revival-level portions of engagement in the scriptures. But for those who have never taken that first step, I pray that their first step, their first seeking, would be to admit that they need you as the savior of their life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.